Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, April 17th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, it's a sad day for you.
Yeah, I was just looking at this.
I mean, Paramore, no longer running on Broadway. I mean, are you okay?
It's just... it's time to move on.
It is. Yesterday was the final Broadway performance for both Paramore and In Transit. I guess Paramore's technically a musical. Two musicals that really defied what we think of as traditional Broadway musicals. In Transit, the first ever a cappella musical on Broadway, and Paramore, the Cirque du Soleil quasi musical review with acrobats thing. Either way, congratulations to everyone who's involved with both productions, both at Circle and the Square for In Transit and the Lyric for Paramore. As I said before, I think In Transit is going to play very well across the country, and Paramore will be nearly impossible for regionals to do, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up in Vegas or Toronto or something like that down the road.
Yeah. All right. First up, Andy Carl, injury puts Groundhog Day opening in limbo. Oh, this would have been, James. You know, this is why we could have done the Welcome to Broadway Friday, April 14th.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry about that. I got the date wrong at first. But yes, okay. James, there's so many moving parts in this. I'm going to try to just run through this whole story. Anybody listening to this probably knows all about it by now. But on Friday night, during the second act of Groundhog Day at about 10:30, Andy Carl was singing the song Philanthropy, and apparently he does a leapfrog over another cast member. And when he came down, he apparently injured himself. He left the stage. They stopped the show for about 15 minutes. They actually announced in the house, is there a doctor in the house? Can you imagine? Andy insisted on finishing the show. They took a 15-minute break. He came out and finished the rest of the second act on a cane. He then went straight to the emergency room. The emergency room confirmed that he did not have any broken bones, but that he, quote, tweaked his knee. Now, James, you and I being sports fans, we know tweaking your knee can be nothing, or it could be something they haven't, you know, figured out yet or announced. Could be like a torn ACL. At this point, we still don't know the extent of Andy's injury. But what we do know is that on Saturday, the next day, they canceled the matinee so that they could give understudy Andrew Call enough time to rehearse to be able to go in on Saturday evening's show. He had not been doing a whole lot of rehearsing in the role because, well, frankly, he's an understudy and they were in previews, so he really didn't have a chance to do that. One nice thing, Vulture did a nice piece about how that transition worked, and we'll link to that, but apparently it went off very well for Mr. Call, so congratulations to him. At this point, James, we are recording at 10:22 p.m. on Sunday, April 16th. Right now, we have no idea whether or not Groundhog Day will open tonight, Monday night, or not. There have been rumors of everything from the show being the opening night being pushed back to as far back in the, you know, the eligibility period as possible, you know, whether or not they can get a Broadway League exemption for that or not, who knows, about Andy Carl being out for months and Andrew Call taking over the role indefinitely, or that Andy Carl is going to do the show on Monday night with a cane. We don't know. I would expect that we would have that announcement probably between the 10 and 11 o'clock hour on Monday. That would be my guess. I don't really have a whole lot of inside information other than BBB doesn't open till 10 a.m. on Monday. So we'll see what happens. But James, here are the options. They could push back the opening night. They would need a special dispensation from the Broadway League. That means they could either find a date that currently doesn't have an opening scheduled for it, which they are few and far between, or they could double up on an opening night as another show. Now, before you say, oh, that can't happen, they can't do that, well, Violet and the Cripple of Inishmon both opened on the same date in 2014, so it's not completely without recent precedent. Of course, they could also be, you know, if they do push the opening back, it could be for one of two reasons: to give Carl the opportunity to heal before the Tony eligibility cutoff, or to give Carl enough time to acclimate himself to the role in time for awards consideration. Option number two. they could open tonight with Andy Carl in the role. Even if he's still hurt, he could do it with a cane. That way he could be the official opening night performer. Therefore, he would be eligible for Tony consideration. This would then give him either the opportunity to heal for maybe another week or so with Carl going on as the understudy and time for the remaining nominators and, the nominators to come in and see the Tony performance. James, I would imagine since his injury happened on a Friday night that most of the critics who were reviewing the show had already seen it. I don't think they probably would have been, having critics come in on a Friday or Saturday, weekend performance. Maybe they did. Who knows? So they could open tonight with Andy Carl just, suffering through it. It wouldn't be the worst thing because in opening night crowds are mostly friends and family, so they would probably be sympathetic. The other option and the final option is that they could open with Andrew Carl in the role. That could mean that if Andy Carl is going to return anytime soon, the producers would need to petition the Tony Rules Committee to consider Carl for Tony nomination instead of Carl, who is the opening night performer. Or if they don't expect Carl to return anytime soon, they just move forward with Andrew Carl as their Tony eligible lead. James, this is a crazy situation because it is so close to opening and it is so late in the eligibility period. It's going to move very quickly whenever the final decision is made and announced. But right now, it's like a big one of those mouse traps where one thing leads to another, where another you've got to figure out exactly which moving parts are going to lead to what desired outcome.
I have two modifications, are modifications of what you said. They open tonight with Andy Carl with a cane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Carl does the first song, opens up, curtain rises, Andy Carl is in the opening night cast, does the first song, they stop the show and replace him.
That's a good idea, actually. I hadn't thought of that.
So that's one thought. The second thought is depending upon the extent of the injury and Andy's tolerance for pain, which we'll talk about in a second, they modify the role so that his character has a cane.
Yeah, from what I understand, I haven't seen it. And James, you were supposed to go coming up this week, so I don't know if that's going to get changed. Apparently, it's a fairly physical role. There's a lot, a lot of the days repeating requires some physicality in it. Here's another thing that we were just saying, James. Here's another option. This is probably, in my mind, the least likely, probably has zero chance of happening. But if Andy's going to be out for like a month or even two, maybe they say, screw it. We're not going to open this season. And they can't do that?
No, the investors would blow a gasket.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not something that I think could happen. But if they really want to try to, keep things... for
previews.
Much different reason. Yeah. But yeah, be in previews until he was healthy, open as part of the 2017-2018 season. Like I said, that's not going to happen. But I do think it's interesting, James, that Andy Carl played Rocky and all the punching and the stuff, never had an injury. He does a leapfrog over somebody in Groundhog Day, and now we're trying to worry if he can go on. So either way, good luck to Andy Carl. I don't want to say break a leg because, obviously. I hope that he heals up nicely. I'm hoping that it is just a minor tweak and a few days rest will help. Otherwise, I think Orfeh is going to just go nuts because she's been tweeting a lot and stuff. And I've heard some from people who've talked with her that there's plenty of, anyone who's familiar with Orfeh, Andy Carl's wife, knows that she's probably anxious about this.
Orfeh, decaf. This is what we need.
There you go.
Yeah. Orfeh, got it. You can start with the decaf on Monday morning. Lisa Goldberg, who's Andy's press rep, and when was Andy's press rep during Rocky, was also tweeting. She's like, this guy took punches in the face 8 times a week during Rocky and never got injured. So don't count him down. We'll see we'll definitely have an update for you in tomorrow's episode of Today on Broadway, the only podcast that comes to you 5 days a week. all right. More shocking news. Second story, and I would venture to guess that most of you haven't heard this yet, so tell us about it.
Well, and the only reason we got it in today's show is, James, is because I was waiting for a hockey game to end to record, and you were finishing up some work. So literally just a couple minutes before we started recording, the wonderful Michael Paulson of the New York Times tweeted out a story that in the 2017-18 season, coming to an unspecified Broadway theater on March 23rd, will be Jesse Mueller, Joshua Henry, and opera star Renee Fleming in a Broadway revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. Jesse Mueller will be playing Julie Jordan. Joshua Henry will be playing Billy Bigelow. And Renee Fleming will be playing Nettie Fowler. The revival will be directed by Jack O'Brien, who has, you know, in addition to the Broadway stuff that he's done recently, including Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he did direct a pretty well-received national tour of The Sound of Music. It is being produced by Scott Rudin and Roy Furman. It is a, James, you and I recently talked about this, so I don't know that this is necessarily a surprise. I spoke to Ted Chapin, the head of the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization, I think about a year and a half ago by now, and he said, when I asked him what the next R&H property would be that would be coming to Broadway, he said Carousel. So I don't think that this is a super surprise. And Jesse Mueller has done a concert of this, I think, for Lincoln Center. So this isn't a huge surprise, but it's still really, really exciting. I think we all love Jesse Mueller. We all love Joshua Henry. I've never seen Renee Fleming. Her last Broadway engagement in that straight play, was it a Ken Ludwig play? I'm not sure. Live on Love or something. Did not go very well and didn't last very long, but this is pretty darn cool.
I'm so excited. Carousel is number one in my top one shows. I mean, I just love it.
Really?
And Joshua Henry, Jesse Mueller, so talented. Renee Fleming. I saw that straight play. I thought she was great in it. You know, whole thing about opera stars can't act, not her. It might be true for others, but she's got the chops. So this is really exciting.
Here's another thing, James. Farther down in the story, we find that 29-year-old dancer and resident choreographer for the New York City Ballet, Justin Peck, will be choreographing the production. There's a couple other New York City Ballet colleagues of his that'll be in the show. Amar Ramasar will be playing Jigger, and Brittany Pollock will be playing Louise. So this looks to be a very, I don't know, probably old school approach to Carousel, that Jack O'Brien is going for. Like I said, this literally just dropped minutes before we started, so don't have a whole lot of research on it, but still pretty cool.
I don't think of Jigger as a ballet dancer, but okay, I'm excited.
We'll see.
All right, next up, we'll call this one 2A. Michael Riedel, Michael Riedel chronicles the Tonys' search for a host. Matt, are you going to host the Tonys?
If the money's right, you know, I wouldn't turn it down. Good. Anyway, yes, James, Groundhog Day, you know, how they're going to deal with the impending dilemma is not the only Tony Award issue that is still yet to be finalized. On Thursday night, the New York Post's Michael Riedel ran through the ongoing saga of the search for the 2017 Tony Awards host. Since last year's host, James Corden, will be filming episodes of his CBS late night show, The Week of the Tonys, producers reached out to multi-hyphenated star Tina Fey, with plenty of awards show hosting experience, with friend and former SNL co-star Amy Poehler. Faye, I think, was a great idea and a great choice, but she turned it down, despite the fact that the musical version of her film Mean Girls is aiming for Broadway next spring, is going to open in Washington, D.C. in October. I don't know if it was because of those commitments or other things where she just said, you know, not for me, thank you, but I'm going to pass. Then the Tony producers went to old standbys Hugh Jackman and Neil Patrick Harris. Jackman is filming the movie musical The Greatest Showman. Neil Patrick Harris turned it down. Broadway's It Boy, Lin-Manuel Miranda, is filming in London with the Mary Poppins sequel, so they struck out there. Riedel reports that Faye was kind of the ideal choice because the producers had decided that they don't want to open the show with a musical number this year because they don't think that whatever they come up with will compete with last year's mega musical mashup that Corden performed. I personally think that's incredibly naive and short-sighted, especially since we did just fine following up NPH as we were that kid opening in 2013. But because of that, Rita reports that they're thinking about some out-of-the-box options, including La La Land stars Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, both obviously are good enough to sing in movies, but they declined to sing their Oscar-nominated songs at the Academy Awards this year. Also, there's rumors of John Mulaney and Nick Kroll being considered as well. Interestingly, James, Riedel only even mentioned Stephen Colbert, whom I have said to me makes the most sense. He only mentions him as being someone that might assist the Oh Hello Boys if they hosted. I don't know if he knows something that he didn't include in his article or if it was an oversight, but that was interesting to me. James, there have been rumors that the Tony producers might turn to high-profile Broadway stalwarts to host, as they did with Alan Cumming and Kristen Chenoweth a few years ago. And I've also heard that Tony nominee Alec Baldwin has been approached. So I would expect that since we are now just about, you know, 2 weeks from tomorrow is when nominations are announced, I'd assume we'd find out who's hosting by then. You'd want at least a month or so to prepare with a host, but who knows?
I forget, are the Tony Award producers a new group this year, or are they the same producers that have been all along?
I'm about 95% confident it's the same ones, because I think they've been the same producers with CBS for decades, to be honest with you. I could be wrong.
I might be thinking of something else. I thought that there was new producers, but it might not be the Tony Awards, and I didn't get a chance to look at that.
I think a really good option, some people had mentioned someone like having Glenn Close and Jake Gyllenhaal host, because they are both great stars of shows this season that are not eligible for Tonys. Glenn Close because she's already won a Tony for playing Norma Desmond, and Jake Gyllenhaal for playing George Surratt and George. And because Sunday isn't eligible, they didn't make themselves eligible for awards. So that would be interesting. They are definitely pretty big names that I don't know if they would bring a ton of interest, but it would be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're hearing just like this enormous, enormous shouting about how great Hello Dolly is, and that Hello Dolly is going to run away with a ton of awards. You know, just bring in Bette, you know, put her up on stage.
I don't know if she's not going to be, if she's not doing 8 shows a week, I don't know that she's going to want to also prepare and rehearse for a hosting gig. So who knows?
All right. Next up, Fun Home to open in London next year.
Yeah, according to the Daily Mail's Baz Bamaboy, The Young Vic will bring the 2015 Tony winner for Best Musical to London in the summer of 2018. While Sam Gold will again direct, as he did both on and off Broadway, he told Baz that he is planning a totally, quote, fresh production and does not expect any of the American cast members to continue with the production in London. James, I'm really super interested to see how this show plays across the pond. London is known for liking musicals that are a little more flashy and fun, and while I think the message of Fun Home is universal, I think that the story and the way that it's told is very American.
Yeah, that's a big question mark. I don't know how much the what do they call the magazines that Fun
the
Home
tabloids?
No.
Oh, the graphic novels.
I don't know if graphic novels are as big in the UK as they are here, but we'll see. I mean, certainly Fun Home is a show that is extremely high caliber and deserves to have at least a shot at London. Next up, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend star Rachel Bloom to pen a book.
Yeah, according to Entertainment Weekly, Rachel Bloom, the co-creator and star of the CW's musical series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, will publish her first book, which will include, quote, hilarious, irreverent, and deeply relatable personal essays, fictional stories, poems, opinions, and more. Rachel Bloom, in the press release that was sent out about this, had her own kind of take on what the book would be. You should read that in the show notes at broadwayradio.com. It's pretty telling as to her style of humor. The book is scheduled for a spring 2019 release, but James, if producers have their way, by then Bloom will have made her Broadway debut in the transfer of the Manhattan Concert Productions revival of Crazy for You.
That's true. All right, and Nonsense gets his own web series.
Yeah, James, in news that I really didn't see coming, you know, we said we kind of saw Carousel coming, didn't see this one. A week from tomorrow, Nonsense, the TV series, will premiere. Now, granted, calling it a TV series is a bit of a stretch. The pilot will drop at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on nonsensetv.com. So I think it's probably more accurate to call it a web series. But it does boast a fairly impressive cast, including Tony winners Beth Level and Karen Ziemba, as well as Dee Hody, Christopher Sieber, Jeff Blumenkrantz, Phyllis Smith, Leroy Reams, Darlene Love as herself, and more. James, I've got to say that even though I went to Catholic school for more than 12 years, I only had a nun for a teacher a couple of times, and I've never seen nuns since the show, so I guess that's part of the reason why I found this a little strange.
Okay, what's up in the recommendations?
All right, I've got three recommendations for you, James. One is great, but fairly traditional. One is really cool, and one is hilarious, but extremely weird. Which one do you want first?
Do the really cool one.
The really cool one is a 360 video by the New York Times that takes you inside kind of that the opening turntable of The Hairy Ape, which is a show we've talked about a number of times over at the Park Avenue Armory. It's got what they claim to be the largest turntable in theatrical history. It's very cool. It looks like they just put the 360 camera on the corner of this turntable. And then as it went and opened and the show starts, they had it running. It's about a minute and 50 second video. It is fantastic. Very cool. This is the type of show that really pains me that I don't live in New York and get to see it, because I'm so all about this type of stuff.
Okay, what about the traditional video?
The traditional video is on Friday. Josh Groban and the cast of The Great Comet performed two songs live on Good Morning America. Josh Groban also talked about his Broadway debut. The cast sang a bit from Prologue and a bit from Pierre. Not exactly traditional in the Broadway musical sense, because it's a very different show. They actually had an audience there in tables, and they interacted them with like they would on stage on Broadway. So it was very cool. This is really the first, I think, the first TV performance that the cast of Great Comet has done, which is kind of surprising with Josh Groban as a star. You would have thought they would have been on stuff earlier, but maybe they were trying to save up all their TV hits for award season. But I think that, you know, I don't know how many people were watching and got interested because of that, but for me, I thought it was incredibly effective.
And finally, the hilarious but weird.
Like I said, we're recording on Sunday. On Saturday night's Saturday Night Live, which was broadcast live from coast to coast for the first time, I think, in the show's history, they did a middle school production of Legally Blonde, the musical, which starred Vanessa Bayer, Adi Bryant, Kate McKinnon, Kyle Mooney, Melissa Villaseñor, Cecily Strong, and Sashir Zamata. It was just awful. I mean, it was terrible. Obviously, that was the joke. But I am on record on this show, on Some Like It Pop, that I love Legally Blonde, the musical. And Lawrence O'Keefe, one of the show's writers, was loving this last night. He was loving it. Now, I'm going to say this, James. Seeing that, it makes me think that this might Legally Blonde, the musical, might be a good candidate for an actual live musical production on NBC, or probably Fox would probably be more appropriate for this. We've talked about before, it's hard to find shows that would draw a lot of people and that have the name recognition to get people excited and, you know, don't kind of suck or have already been done. So I think this one would be a great opportunity for Fox, who is said to be getting ready to announce their next movie music or their next TV musical anytime soon. I am now completely on the bandwagon for Legally Blonde, the musical live.
That is such a great idea. I really like that. You have to see who we can throw that in front of. All right. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We had an Easter episode drop. It has absolutely nothing to do with Easter. It's just the first time all week I had time to edit it.
All right. And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for starting off your week with us, and we'll be back and give you the update on Groundhog Day tomorrow.